The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. It's another sunny day. Everybody's alive and well, and we all came screeching into the parking spaces just in time to jump into the chair, slap the headphones on our face, and
that's right. The police were busy giving somebody a ticket on Market. Bob blew right by him. If I would have drafted with Bob, I could have hit the last seven lights. But no, Bob was going so fast. I'm like, I'm totally going to get a ticket. If I do Bob, this, I will get a ticket.
I could not have possibly blown right by the policeman, because there were two people in front of me going slower than the speed limit.
That was the only reason you caught up with me. You were dodging in and out.
Don't you love it how everybody slows down when they see a cop, and you're like, come on, folks.
Oh, we didn't even see
him. The cop is going to drop what he's doing and come over to the other side of the street.
Yeah, really. To get you.
Wait, I'm going to give up a real criminal for a potential criminal.
Yeah.
You were seriously doing 70 on Pine Street, though. I saw you.
I can neither confirm nor deny
that. I was totally behind you.
I think it's so funny that I think I'm late. I pull in. My engine's still running, and here comes Bob right behind me. It's hilarious.
Well, I pulled up, and I wonder who has our three parking spaces in front of the radio station.
I know.
What's up with that? Are those just people left over from the bar last night? Do we have guests,
and we don't know it?
Or left over from yesterday's shows? I don't know.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So if you're just tuning in and you think you've reached Comedy Central, this is We the People Radio.
Comedy Central's really gone downhill.
Yeah.
Not the Don Shulman show. That doesn't happen for two more hours.
You're with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, and We the People Radio. Jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us or give us a call at 530-605-4567. And if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, our webpage has everything about today's guest and every show we've ever done. Got a individual link, an MP3 file that you can click on and email out to anybody. And you'll find out things here that you won't hear anywhere else.
So, highly recommend the shows on the Humane Society of the United States. Yeah. That's a biggie.
Okay, so I got to tell you, I was telling you before the show that I was coming back from Fresno last night, and I had grabbed a handful of CDs from previous shows that we've done, and I was listening on the way, and I got to tell you, the show has just really improved. I mean, that was back in early 2011. We'd probably been on the air for about 6 months, and you know, it was great. I mean, the guests were fabulous, and we, you know, we were okay, but we've come a long way. It's improved greatly.
Full disclosure.
Bob, you have a huge part.
Full disclosure, I was not involved with the program at that time.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, we could tell.
That was the point that I was heading toward. But it's, you know, the whole atmosphere and the liveliness and the great music and, you know, it all just fits really well. So,
It took us a while to ramp up to the goofing off, even though that's really our normal way to do it. We tried to be
professional.
We tried to be adults.
Yeah.
We failed.
Yeah, and this is so much more fun. So, anyway, kudos to Bob.
Yeah. All right. So,
our third anniversary show is coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I'm jockeying. We may switch guests.
Okay.
I'm not totally sure. I had somebody who needed to be on before the election, and the absentee ballots come out on the 8th.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I can't remember who that was, but at the time it was important.
Speaking of which, I was at the Election Integrity Project
workshop. I'm sorry, that would be our second anniversary, wouldn't it? Starting our third year.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry. Second anniversary, third year.
That's what happens to Bill and I every year.
So, absentee ballots and such. If you are at all interested in being a part of election day activities and really want to understand the process, because some of the issues that we run into out there are that people become emotionally worked up about issues without really completely understanding all the facts. So if you are in the state of California or actually anywhere nationwide, I really encourage you to either go to truethevote.org or theelectionintegrityproject.com. Click on a county near you and get involved. And here in Shasta County, we would love to have folks that would just like to be a poll observer on election day, and that's simply going and observing what happens in the polling place. And you will be highly educated on what to look for and what to do about it if you see anything that is inaccurate or does not follow election code.
So, okay, somebody's out there who says, yeah, sure, I want to help out, but I don't know squeak about elections.
Right, right. Go, what they need to do is go to the electionintegrityproject.com, click on the Get Involved link on that website, scroll down until you find Shasta County, give me your information, and they'll put you in contact with me.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to deploy the resources?
I will deploy the resources.
So many people were at that thing in Fresno?
There were probably about 15 counties represented, primarily central to Southern California. And I would say they were 50 to 60 people. And each group of individuals from the counties represented all of the folks that are on their teams in their counties.
Nice.
They're really gearing up. And it's kind of interesting because... the opposition is coming out full force electronically, if you know what I mean. So we're making a huge, huge dent, and they know it and they feel it. So we know that it's working.
Nice.
And currently the Election Integrity Project has about 80% of registered voters covered by teams of people that are working with the election process and their local county registrars.
See, that's the thing. We've all gotten away from all that.
We have.
You know, it's like, well, somebody's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like, who mows the grass at the city park? I don't know.
But somebody does. It's not me.
It stays short, so, yeah. You know, it's not my problem. I drive by, I look at it, yeah. It looks fine. You know, it's only when the grass gets too long or you find out they make too much money or, you know, it's only when something comes on the radar that all of a sudden everybody goes, well, how's that work?
And it's amazing what you learn because on election day, when you go into a polling place, you think that everything is safe, but the two areas that are most susceptible to fraud are absentee ballots and provisional ballots.
And how those get handled, too.
Yeah.
Like when you go in, there's mm-hmm. a way to do all that. And mm-hmm. and I just know from stories I heard in the primary that there are some of our precincts here locally where you have folks doing things not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're short of volunteers, you know, it's not like, what do they do, run over there and fire them? I mean, it all happens on one day.
It does.
It isn't like, you know.
And in a perfect world, we would have someone educated that understands what to look for, one person at each polling place, just observing.
Yeah. And
knowing what to do about it if they see something. And kind of a cool program.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do that.
No problem.
Because it's not like Fresno's next door.
No.
Hey, so Terry's online.
We have our good friend Terry online one this morning.
Terry, what brings you to us so early in the morning?
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're super. Good, what are you doing?
Hey, yeah, really, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for doing that. My wife and I went to go see a movie yesterday called The Last Ounce of Courage.
And I would
recommend that movie for everyone. It talks about our religious rights, our God-given rights. It talks about our rights and our freedoms being taken away. It's an absolutely excellent movie. And I really want to recommend it to everybody. There were several people that we knew at the movie, and I don't think there was a dry eye in the house when it was done.
And Terry, you know, and this workshop that I went to yesterday in Fresno, one of the women at this workshop who is a coordinator in her county, her daughter was in the movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so she was promoting it yesterday, and literally by the time she was done promoting the movie, she was wiping tears away.
I'm telling you, I can't tell you how great it was, and it's good. And there's many, many other movies that are coming out.
Yeah,
that were shown,
there's a ton of conservative movies coming out.
Conservative movies.
Hey,
and
do you guys want
to? Great to see it. I just wanted to pass that along to everybody.
Thank you.
Again, it's The Last Ounce of Courage, and I just recommend that everybody see it. Take your kids, especially if you have young people, teenagers in your family. Mm-hmm. I recommend you take it. It's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, have a good program.
Okay, thanks a million, Terry.
Bye, Terry.
Okay, now if you all really want to shed a tear of joy, my mom's going to see 2016 this weekend.
Nice!
I know. My sister Molly went to see it. She's like, Mom has to see this.
Nice.
I said, well, you make the call. So they said they were going to see it, so we'll see what happens.
Isn't it playing at Anderson now as well as Reading?
Could be. I'm not sure. It was going to be here for like a week, but they said they were going to leave it, you know, based on...
They keep extending it.
Viewership, and it keeps getting longer.
And another one coming out I encourage people to go see is part two of Atlas Shrugged, which opens in theaters on October 12th.
Yes.
And if you want to see what it looks like when they destroy the capitalism and the producers that actually fund America, then I encourage you to go see that movie.
Mm-hmm. You can have a snazzy new T-shirt for that to promote that movie, too, by the way. I'm going to get it tomorrow.
You are?
I am. I know somebody who has 80 of them.
Oh, cool.
I know, so you get a new shirt.
Nice. So Aaron and I are watching a YouTube video on break, and it's a bunch of people in the forest sitting around and having some kind of ceremony and crying and wailing. And
if you haven't seen this video, you guys got to go to YouTube. It's Earth First Mourning Loss of Tree.
They're literally crying.
And screaming.
And I mean, they're wailing and bawling.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right.
You got to love these guys.
Don't you think I'm a really practical person?
Yeah.
Okay, so my first thought is, okay, if you eliminate the use of wood products altogether, I mean, that doesn't just include lumber.
Jams up the bodily function process, doesn't it?
Yeah, so what are you going to wipe with?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, what do these people wipe with?
I don't know.
Can somebody call me
and tell
me?
I've seen some of them, and I'm not sure
that they do.
Yeah, I was going someplace.
Somebody call me and tell me that if you don't have toilet paper, what do you do? I'm sure there's a very logical alternative.
You know, it's funny. We have substitutes for everything else. You know, they think we can get electricity just from solar. Of course, we'll only have enough electricity to run.
That's assuming the wind blows. No. And you can't do it on sunny days, apparently.
The solar isn't the wind, though. That's the
windmills. That's right. I'm thinking of windmills.
Sure, that's only when the wind blows. That's the only time the sun comes out. What do you live in, Eureka?
Well, and also...
In Eureka, the only time the sun comes out is when the wind blows.
And your solar panels have to face a certain direction.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't have too many trees.
Okay, we lived on an acre and a half, and we had roughly an acre was our pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And if we put, I forget what it was, it was like 8-foot high solar panels. It would have looked a little bit like a stadium, but with no seats, like just the flat grid work of a stadium.
Yeah.
All the way down the one side of our pasture, we still didn't have enough solar to actually run our house.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's efficient. Our neighbors are going to hate us forever.
It just cracks me up.
I don't know. It's just nutty.
That people think this is going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Up in the Butte Valley area, up by Doris.
Hey, you've been going up there a lot lately.
Been up there a lot.
What's happening
there? I've been up
there
actually more than Wairika, which is funny.
Wow. What's happening there?
Well, they keep seeing wolves. You know, the wolves keep showing up. And so here's this... let's see, I wonder if I can find it here. I've got a lady up there. They have these folks have a ranch, and her husband is going through cancer treatments down in Stanford.
Okay.
So he's, you know, gone.
Sure.
And so she's running the ranch and, you know, got all sorts of stuff going on there. And here she is out in the middle of nowhere, and you've got, you've got a helicopter overhead and all this stuff. And the and the dogs are afraid to go outside and all that. And then they find, you know, one of their animals dead. And, you know, they're consistently told, oh, no, it's not the wolf. The wolf doesn't, you know, the wolf's not doing that. And they hear them. They hear them. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one.
Right.
And, no, there's no wolf program. There's no plan to reintroduce them. It's like, okay. Well, then, and they've got the one, the collared wolf.
Okay.
You know, OR7.
Now, where is OR7
right now? I don't know where OR7 is right now, but I'm guessing he's at the Woodson's place. But, there's just no recognition that this kind of thing causes anybody any problems.
Yeah.
You know, any personal problems or any loss. You know, you also have an elk situation up there. You've got all these elk come in, 200, 300 elk, and they all lay down in your field. Well, you no longer have a field of alfalfa or hay with a bunch of elk laying in it. They just squashed it all.
Sure.
And it's not like the grass in your yard where it just pops back up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's squashed. So they have, you know, experiencing huge crop loss. And, of course, there's no compensation for that. However, they're not allowed to shoot the elk. Yeah. You know, you have an 11-day season and you've got, you know.
So you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, fistful of tags. And, oh, yeah, you can fence it.
Yeah, yeah, because they wouldn't get through the fence.
200 elk start running. You could build a fence for that.
God.
Fence would work.
Out of what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Reared in steel.
Yeah, yeah. Old cars. You turn it into a junkyard. Yeah. You just pile old cars all around your property 10 high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just a really unworkable. So there's this huge shift toward just protecting, you know, And really re-engineering the environment, because a lot of these things weren't there before. You know, there really weren't elk up there until like 18 years ago, and then the elk started up.
Yeah.
You know, wolves have been eradicated. There's a 1994 Fish and Game report that says that they really hadn't seen much for wolves really ever in California. I mean, it's just not a common animal in California. And also, there was a rancher there at a meeting last week. He's from Oregon, because up there in Doris, you're so close to the Oregon border, you get folks coming down.
Tell me exactly where Doris is.
Doris is on Highway 97. It's between...
Okay. Are they in the Scott Valley?
If you went east from the Scott Valley and you went up over the hills and you went to the other highway that heads up toward Klamath Falls.
Okay, gotcha.
If you want to go to Klamath Falls, you head north on I-5 and you hook a right at Weed and you take about a 45-degree angle and go up. So it's the other, other offshoot there. He was saying he's from Oregon, and he said, well, I remember when OR7 was up there, and we were kind of tracking it online and stuff, and he said, I watched them. They had helicopters and vehicles, and they literally chased OR7 into California.
No kidding.
They forced him over the border into California.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
And they just don't think that anybody knows what they're doing, do they?
Well, they don't think anybody's watching or that anybody will tell or whatever, but yeah, so he didn't just wander over the border. Apparently there was quite a bit of manipulation to get him to come over the border. Yeah, they said they chased him with helicopters and trucks.
Unbelievable.
And of course, you know, that's how I want my wildlife treated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's all about the wildlife.
Yeah, they're all about the wildlife. Mm-hmm.
And the natural environment, except we're chasing him with helicopters and drugs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To get him to go into California.
Just the biggest hypocrites on the face of the earth.
Yeah, let's name call.
Yeah, okay. I just did turn.
I like name calling. And the phone ring, someone's going, oh, for God's sake, talk about something meaningful. Stand I'm going to call in.
Do you want to take a break while I answer the phone here?
I don't know. The suspense is killing us. Find out who it is. We got to know. We'll just listen to Bob answer the phone.
Bob?
Bob's answering the phone.
Okay, you want to go on the air?
He wants someone to go on the air.
Okay, what was the name again?
Oh, he's asking him their name.
Okay, I can turn my mic on so you can hear me better if you'd like to hear me taking the entire phone call, Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
It's Scott Valley Tom.
Tom!
Okay, I have to push a couple of buttons here. Some inside baseball for you listeners. Okay. Now Tom should be on line one.
Tom.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fine. Hey, I just wanted to let you know, you do know about October 4th, Department of Fish and Game Commission meeting to discuss the listing of the wolf as an endangered species?
Yes.
You knew that, right?
Yes. And so why you tell people about it. They've been listening to us for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think they're ready for somebody new.
Yeah, somebody else talk.
The Butte Valley POP people, I'm with Scott Valley POW. A lot of P's in there. But anyway.
That's protect our water and protect our property, in case you didn't know the POP, POW.
Okay. Skinny. We're not that famous yet. Anyway, they're considering listing the gray wolf. And I'm sure that you've been privy to it, but there is a document. It was sent by the POP people that I thoroughly went through from our friend Mr. McCannum from the he's the director of the Department of Fish and Game, State of California, where they're supporting the listing kind of tongue in cheek. If you read it through, well, there's only one wolf in the state of California right now, and that's OR7, and then they called him a. Anyway, a domestic wolf. Anyway, long story short, since 1679, this is quoting their report, and I'm doing it off the top of my head, but 1769, from 1769 to 2011, there has been 48 wolves documented in the state of California. And so it goes back a long, 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 long ways. I think you're right. I think the last wolf was trapped in like 72 or something like that. But this is a combination. The thing is, this is not the wolf that OR7 is not a domestic animal. Those are Canadian gray wolves, and even the 48 sightings that they've had since 1769, they're not sure. They weren't counting coyotes, because there is a coyote that lives in eastern California in the Sierra Nevadas and that area that is a larger than normal. It'll run 80 to 120 pound coyote. And so they don't know, you know, and then they have So they don't know for sure. They can't verify. So wolves have never been in a large population in the state of California. And if you read in New Mexico, where they brought the Mexican wolves in and put them on a reserve, those animals don't stay on the reserve, and they're raising all, I mean, they're in towns, they're in cities, they're attacking dogs and cats and so forth. It's a bad, bad idea. Society has changed to the point to where wolves cannot cohabitat with people, especially in the Butte Valley area. I've been involved up there with the people that are doing that, and extremely intrusive. And the problem is with the elk are a great big problem. They were introduced by the Department of Fish and Game up there. They weren't native to any great quantity in that particular area until the Department of Fish and Game put them up there, state of California. And then they protected them, and now they have these massive amounts. And you're right, no fence will hold them. Can you imagine a herd of, it's been reported between 50 and 100 animals in a herd. Can you imagine if a wolf or two started chasing those, there's not a fence or structure built that's going to stop those elk?
Oh, no kidding. I mean, that's just ridiculous, you know, the idea that fences could stop them and that they're not destructive. I mean, you know, on the other side, it's like, well, what's the big deal? They're incredibly destructive. Well, the other thing to let people know here on this wolf listing, let's see, it is the Center for Biological Diversity. Red flag, red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Big Wildlife Environmental Protection Information Center, Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center. And they put out a nice report. Isn't that super? It clearly, this petition clearly demonstrates that the gray wolf warrants listing under California Environmental Fish and Game Code. For the factor, you know, and it lists all these factors in here, and it's like, you guys have got to be kidding me. Oh, the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center is an advocate for the forest, wildlife, and waters of the Rogue and Klamath Basins. They work to protect and restore the extraordinary biological diversity of the Klamath Siskiyou region. Well, you can't restore something that wasn't there.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and just a real quick word on stakeholders and these biodiversity groups in the whole nine yards. My biggest upset with them is the fact that they've got no skin in the game. That it absolutely, positively does not affect them, their property, their way of life. Historically, they don't have anything involved in here except taking taxpayer money to do these fancy little things. It's just like any group that goes out there, and if there's a problem and they solve the problem, they will never solve the problem, because if you admit the problem solved, then you lose all your money. And you know very well, I could probably talk for 4 or 5 hours about all the groups up here that we're dealing with. They're nothing but grant-funded organizations that always have to have a problem. They're costing us property owners up here and the taxpayers also. It's taxpayer money. You can't get away from the fact that everybody's paying for these stupid reports. And like I said, if you read that article on, or what Bonham sent out to the commission, you'd be amazed at them trying to say, oh yeah, it needs to be listed. We've got one up here. Oh, and we got to protect it. It's native to California. It's not native to California. What, it's been here since December 11th?
Yeah.
Was that when it came in?
Well, it says that wolves were eradicated in the 1920s.
Well, that's when the last one that they thought, the last one that was killed. I had heard or read somewhere that in 1970 or something like that, they trapped one from somewhere in California. And I think it was Southern California. It could have been one of those Mexican wolves or whatever. I don't know. But they've never been a large population of wolves in this state, and they certainly aren't native. This wolf is not native. It's not even native to the United States. It came out of the Yellowstone debacle. when they started spreading out of Yellowstone. And the government lied to the people in Yellowstone. Yeah, we're going to keep it to, what, 40 pairs or something?
Yeah.
And when it got out 40 pairs, they just shoot. They started migrating, and now go up to Idaho and go to Montana and go to northern Oregon. I just watched an article last night on up in northern Oregon about what these wolves are doing. And fishing, whatever they call themselves, the Fish and Wildlife Service Oregon or whatever they are, they won't even acknowledge. This guy was standing there with a 1,800 pound bull that was dead, and they wouldn't even acknowledge it, even the possibility that it could have been a wolf, until the guy finally got ticked off. But anyway, well, I'm through rambling.
Well, and I don't know if it showed it in that, and I cannot remember what area, so I'm going to, you know, commit whatever it is, journalistic malpractice, and talk about something I can't prove. Anyway, at that meeting, one of the ranchers up there, he had been reading a lot of reports and stuff, and in one of those areas where the wolves have been allowed to overpopulate, their kids have to sit in cages to wait for the school bus. They literally, you can't have kids like sitting out in the open. I guess they.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I guess the kids are snacks. So they have to be in these cages, and so there's a whole psychological impact that happens with people who, you know, live in rural areas. So you have the kid walking home from school. You know, can't have that anymore. Now the kids have to sit in a cage waiting for the school bus.
God.
You've got somebody out there working their cattle by themselves, and, you know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a dangerous deal, and the wolves would never do that. Well, they are doing it elsewhere, so why wouldn't they do it here? All right, Tom, we don't really have to go, but we have to take a break, so.
Okay.
How about you listen in, and when it just keeps going on, you just call us back. How'd that be?
Hey, not a problem. Hey, nice talking with you. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Scott Valley, president of Protect Our Water. Awesome group. All right, Pat, we know you're on the other line. We've got to have you hang with us for 2 minutes. We'll be right back. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
That's great, Bob. See what I mean about Bob?
What about Bob?
Do you just see what we mean? I mean, the guy pulls songs out of nowhere within 60 seconds.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
That's a little inside baseball for you, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Pat, has been our hostage online, too.
What About Bob was one of my favorite movies.
I bet.
Like, please say it more.
Oh, yeah, I got to watch that one. I could use a little humor.
Oh,
all right, what about Pat?
Pat seems to be gone. Pat, if you're listening, call back.
Did we lose her?
We lost her.
She probably got tired of waiting. I don't blame her.
She was like, what the heck? They're still talking about wolves. Well, we had to finish talking about wolves. You know how it is. Okay, I'm too stupid to send a text message.
Okay.
I had a BlackBerry for like 8,000 years.
And I still
and now,
do.
And now I can't work it. Now I can't
Pat
work
had
it.
Pat had an cute incident about voter registration she wanted to share with us. So, again,
I like it.
Pat, please call us back.
Yeah, we're going to just shift back and forth between wolves and voter registration. Actually, that kind of goes together. Can you talk in text?
Apparently.
She's nodding. She was nodding. You're killing me. Nodding.
Nodding tends not to work well on the radio.
No, nodding is a... Yeah, nodding's a... Yeah, bad deal. Okay, so... Let's just stick with this little wolf thing while we're at it here. Diseases and parasites. Many diseases and parasites are found among canids. Wolves are susceptible to a number of viral and bacterial diseases, including rabies, canine parvovirus, canine distemper, canine hepatitis, and some other stuff. And then there's some lepto something or other, and I'm not a veterinarian, nor do I play one on TV, so we'll stop the veterinary checkup at that point. But bunches of this stuff. Some of these can create significant problems in wolf recovery and require monitoring and appropriate treatment to ensure they do not spread the and impact the entire population. So we're going to have veterinarians for these. I mean, bottom line is they're going to require a lot of care. It isn't like, you know, we just drop them in and then poof, they're all good to go. This is going to be labor intensive and time consuming.
Well, let's talk about why. Let's talk about why they want to reintroduce the wolves.
Can you say drive everyone off land?
Yeah.
Did I cut to the? I'm sorry. I was going to lead up to that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I always find it really interesting that there are a small group of people that think they know more than Mother Nature. I just find that really interesting.
Yeah, that's true. So there's a reason that they were.
Arrogant, I think.
They were extincted.
Yeah.
We extincted them years ago.
The arrogance to be,
And there is really another, you know what, I'm going to look that up real quickly. For those people that actually would be interested in learning more about this or who are kind of going, well, I think they might be full of crap. Because that's easy to, easy to think. Considering I'm looking at a report from the Biological Diversity.
Just in case you're wondering, I'm not totally on my game this morning.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Haven't you noticed?
I know. I wasn't going to point it out or anything.
I'm not, as quick on the...
Liz was in the grumpy zone I was in 2 weeks ago. She has to go on vacation this week.
Yeah, and you can see my eyes.
Yeah, it's time to go on vacation. Yeah. Get your fun back.
I'm not sure, but I think the round trip to Fresno yesterday had something to do with it.
Yeah, there you go.
12 hours of driving and 6 hours of workshop.
Okay, so before we switch gears here, I just want to let people know there is a great movie online. It's, I don't know how long it is, an hour maybe? And it is cryingwolfmovie.com is the URL for that, cryingwolfmovie.com. And that really goes through, it's a very good documentary done by a guy in his 20s. I mean, he's not very old. Here we go. Crying Wolf is an independently produced documentary film by Jeffrey King, a 20-year-old Montana resident. His passions are filmmaking, wildlife, and truth, wherever it may or may not be found. Finished his studies last fall when he completed his business management degree through Thomas Edison State College. So here's a 20-year-old who makes a film, and you're thinking, oh, great, it's going to be like Blair Witch Project, you know, like Handycam, you know, take your Dramamine. No, it's really super well. Have you seen it?
I have not.
It is fabulous.
But I got to tell you, some of these young people with their technology and just how they see the world, I love their stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, this thing is exposing the wolf reintroduction to Yellowstone National Park. That's the focus of it. Mm-hmm. So cryingwolfmovie.com, and it's an hour and 48-minute movie. It's got music. It's got interviews. It's extremely well edited. It's got amazing footage, footage of wolves.
You know what? I have seen that.
I know. Do you recognize that part?
I did.
I think we might have shown it, like, on a Monday or something.
We might have, and it is fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
It was really good.
20-year-old kid. Amazing.
All right. Hey, looks like Tom's back. We lost Pat, brought back Tom. Oops. We're looking at some inside baseball over there, Bob.
Tom is back with us on line one.
I was going to say, or a new Tom, but it's Tom again.
Oh, sorry about that. Don't mean to take up all your time.
Oh, we have plenty. Don't worry.
No, we're good.
I found the memorandum. It's a memorandum dated August 1st, 2012, from executive director of the Department of Fish and Game Commission, from bottom director of the Department of State, California State Fish and Game. I just want to quote this one paragraph, if I may. The documented presence of OR7 is an important part, but not the tipping point, of the department's recommendation for designation of the wolf as a candidate species under CESA. Other relevant information possessed by the department indicates that wolf populations are increasing and expanding in other western states, that California may include suitable habitat to sustain a population of wolves. If established, and that is a possibility, given existing information that naturally dispensing wolves from other states will enter California at some time in the future and may establish a breeding population. In combination, available information leads the department to believe that there is sufficient scientific information at this time. particularly with respect to the most biological critical factor, population size, i.e. one, to indicate that the petition action may be warranted. See, so it's not just the environmentalist. It's the State Department of Fish and Game. They're stretching real hard to get this animal listed so that they can invite it in.
Yeah, and when you look at the amount of care and supervision and, you know, the thing I was reading about disease and all that.
Absolutely.
This is just going to open up a whole bunch of jobs for a whole bunch of other people at taxpayer expense and, you know, cost the people who live in that area a ton of money.
Well, not only is everybody in California going to pay for it through the taxing process, but it's going to devastate our real good friends up there.
Yeah, it is.
In Butte Valley first and foremost, because they just happen to share the border with Oregon, and that seems to be where the wolves are being herded in from. But this is massive. This is a massive program by the Department of Fish and Game. It's so damn easy to list an endangered species, and it's so difficult. It takes years and years and years and millions of dollars to get them delisted once they come in and tear the property apart. And nobody's held accountable.
Yeah, there should be provisions that, just in case people who live up in the northern part of California would be interested, there is a wolf expert that will be in Doris on the 20th at the Doris City Hall at 6 p.m. And I've got to look up his, here we go, hold on, hold that. Thought. He is here. There's a meeting in Doris this coming week on Thursday, September 20th, 6 p.m. John Williamson, OSU County Extension Agent from that county, will have a slide presentation and discuss the dire conditions in dealing with introduction of wolves. So this guy's Oregon State University, and I guess he is the man. So pretty nice. He's speaking from not only technical experience, but experience, you know, up there with wolves in Oregon. So, anyway, should be worth it.
The information that I have, he also has a video, which are always interesting.
Yeah, I have it on. You know what? How about this? I'm going to put that information on the website. I will send that to Robert right now, and there's a Vimeo video that goes with this. So you'll see that at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll just totally change our whole show while we're doing it. You should love that. Thanks, Robert, for changing the whole show while we're doing it.
Well, I'll get out of your hair. If you ever get a chance to read this memorandum, this is just classic.
Hey, how about this? Email it to me, and I'll send it to Robert. We'll get it up on the website.
Thanks so much, Tom.
How's that?
Hey, talk to you later.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Okay, do we have time? No, we can't. I guess we're going to a break.
We'll go to Pat when we come back.
All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes here at We the People Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. Don't go anywhere, Pat. See you in a second.
Streaming 24/7 on KCNR 1460.com.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that be given away when we all live together. I'm talking about together now. Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land.
And then we can all hold hands and walk around the giant oak trees and sing and
rainbows, puppies,
and
kumbaya.
And
oh, we're playing that. We're playing that YouTube video.
And pound our drums.
We're going to do the sound.
We've
got to
do it.
We've
got to
do it. Back.
So before we take our top of the hour break, we've got Pat on the line. Hi, Pat.
Hello. How are you guys?
Sorry
today?
Sorry, it took us so long. Sorry for
that's
the
okay.
Chaos.
That's okay. Listen, I want to tell you, first of all, I'm not crying wolf here.
Very good.
Right on.
About voter registration issues, I want to relate two personal experiences. I've been going to pastors in the Reading area to encourage them to hold voter registrations.
Good for you, by the way. Kudos.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, actually, and I've met some wonderful, wonderful people and some very intimidated people. And I just want to relate this one and then another issue. I was talking to a pastor who was all wanting to do it every single Sunday, and he wanted to find out if he asked me, do I have to attend the course to learn how to do this at the clerk's office? And I said, you know, I don't want to say because I'm not sure. I've been through the course, and I'm happy to do it for you. And he said, well, I want to hold voter registration every single Sunday.
Oh,
so
nice.
That wouldn't be convenient. So right there in front of me, he called the clerk's office, and the person who answered the phone said, no, you have to attend the course. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to check with a voter registration expert. I called someone that I think we all know in Southern California, and who is an expert in this, knows the voting election laws, and she said it is not illegal for them to hold a voter registration without having been through the course. So for all of you pastors out there, you do not have to go to a course. And think about it. It makes perfect sense. If you can take a voter registration form, fill it out yourself, and mail it in, and never having been to a course.
Yeah, good point.
It's very, very simple.
Well,
so
and,
please,
yeah,
and all the listeners out there, don't be intimidated.
And this is a good reason to get educated.
That's the whole point
about everything that we do. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, I'll call back later.
Bye.
Yeah, just keep calling us over and over and over. Thank God it's local. Hey, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. What was that, Bob?
It's them.
This is Prince.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We're back. I have
such as
one,
we are.
One of my ears is out.
Okay, we'll
got it dead right
try
here.
To get you a different set of headphones here momentarily.
Your stuff breaks a lot. My stuff's
it
over
does.
In the corner.
I'm
I think
jinxed.
It doesn't get molested as much over here in the corner. You're in the traffic area over there.
I know.
You must touch your stuff over there.
Anyway, yeah, you're tuning. Yeah, and you probably wonder what you're tuning into. Is We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin, and we're winging it today. We had,
but I did work in the word molested.
You did,
so it isn't a total loss.
Hey, I have to let you know that if it weren't for my husband, I would have come in this morning with my shirt on inside out. Just thought you'd like to know
stunned,
that.
Stunned silence.
Yeah.
My wife has corrected me in that department on more than one occasion, so I can relate.
Yeah, it looked the same to me. Same color on the inside as it was the outside.
Nice.
But apparently I had it on inside out, and he didn't let me leave the house this morning looking like I just got up.
Or you'd been at the drive-in movies?
Yeah.
That never happened, though.
I read about it
in a book.
I snuck in the trunk of a car in the drive-in movies once.
But did your shirt wind up inside out?
No, but I freaked out because there was a spider in there with me.
Huh. So you're like Little Miss Muffet.
So I got caught sneaking into the drive-in because
you were screaming in the trunk?
I was screaming in the trunk.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. There was a spider in there. I'm in the trunk of the car with a little flashlight sneaking into the drive-in.
Okay, when someone hears screaming coming from the inside of a trunk, it usually doesn't end well.
No, usually you go right for the police, except at the drive-in movie.
Of course, that was
where they go for
that
your wallet.
That was back when, okay.
When there was a drive-in movie?
Yeah, when there was a drive-in movie, and they didn't call the police for every single thing. So they just basically, you know, kicked us out of the movie. That was it, and we went home. Wow.
But it was funny.
Yeah.
You don't know what to say, do you?
It's better than my experience with the Inside Out shirt. Wasn't my shirt, by the way.
I don't know if I want to hear this.
This is someone I was there with. And there was really nothing bad going on, but it got really, really hot. And so he took his shirt off. But what he did, he pulled it over his head, and it turned it inside out. We were in Southern California.
Oh,
I was there visiting his grandparents or something. He was a guy I went to college with. And he goes, oh, that's real nice. Thanks for telling me my shirt was inside out. Everybody in the snack bar was laughing at me.
Giving you the high five.
I was like, sorry.
Oh, what does Bob have up on his computer screen?
Okay, I would strongly recommend you at least let me preview this off the air before we
All right, go ahead.
All right, because we don't want to get you in trouble.
Because we want the sound to be right. Got to hear the sound, right?
We were going to play a video of people crying.
Well, we can still play it.
Oh, we're still doing it. We just got to check the sound so that it doesn't come out all low or loud.
Is that somebody calling, Bob?
Yes, it is.
That's exciting. What? Call and find, answer it and find out who it is.
Hey, by the way, if you want to call us, it's 530-605-4567. Mm-hmm. One person figured it out. You have another line free if you want to call.
And jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us. I don't know what they're talking about this morning because my computer's turned off.
It is? Oh, yeah, it is. What's happening, Bob?
It's Billy Bob from Palisadro on line one.
Right on.
Billy Bob.
What do you got for us this morning?
Hello, on your question and answers this morning concerning the wolf and all the legislation that these people are thinking they're going to throw on us. Hey, there's an old saying that all the old timers and have used for years is the three S's. It's shoot, shovel, and shut up.
You know, so,
not necessarily in that
order. I've heard that, but I didn't know what it meant.
Yes, no, all the old timers will take care of the problem. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know the thing that's kind of interesting, though, about that OR7, he's got the collar is bright blue, and wherever he is, there, it's like an international incident. I mean, you've got helicopters, you've got tons of people around. There's no way you could shoot him. He's fully supervised.
These high-powered rifles go a long ways. Get him.
That's what I was thinking. You'd need to have some serious sniper action going on there.
We'll get him. All right. Carry on. Great
show.
Thanks,
Billy Bob.
Carry on.
Hey, so I wanted to chat a little bit about...
Thanks, Bob, for the three S's.
Thank you. Just wanted to chat a little bit about something that we just heard, and that's that in the state of Connecticut, they just passed a law saying that they are going to... cut government checks to the commercial fishermen to make up for the fact that all of the regulations that they have imposed on them have destroyed their inability to make a living at commercial fishing. So let's go back. You're a commercial fisherman, and that's how you make your living, and the government imposes so many regulations that you can no longer fish commercially for a profit or to provide food. So the government's now going to cut you a check to make up for the money that you're not making from commercial fishing based on their regulations. Does that sound like the farming in the state of California? Does that sound like a farm subsidy?
Well, it sounds like farming in the whole country.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's confiscate tax dollars and use it to pay people who would like to work and produce a product,
mm-hmm.
but now who aren't allowed to.
Yeah. But we're not going to impose tariffs on those same products coming from other countries.
No.
So your tax dollars are going to pay rice farmers, commercial fishermen,
anybody
that's trying to produce something for this country. Your tax dollars are going to cut them a check to make up for the money they can't make because of your government regulations.
Meanwhile, I mean, it all focuses to the really sharp point that, I'm sorry, where's our food coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait,
right.
Could it be China? I mean, they can't even make dog treats. Do you hear about that?
No.
They had some kind of dog treats that I wouldn't buy. It was like some chicken thing or whatever. And they poisoned a bunch of dogs.
That's not the first time something like that has happened with pet food or pet products that came from China.
Exactly.
I think the latest example was the Baggin strips or something like that.
Oh, China's not good with snack food for dogs. They just poisoned a bunch of dogs again.
I guess
mangoes that just came from South American country. I want to say it was.
Are those dried mangoes that you can buy them at Costco?
No, not that
which,
I know.
By the way, I don't shop there anymore, but.
I know you're hating on them.
I'm hating on Costco and Orchard Hardware, but yeah, well, that's another day.
Because they delivered a lot of money to you-know-who, Pio. There were these mangoes that were imported from some country south of us. I don't remember where. I'm really short on facts today.
That's okay.
I
think we're okay because we know more than 11.
But you know what? You could go to your homework. You could just search up mango poisoning or whatever it was. But a whole bunch of people died from that, too. Mm-hmm. So,
I guess I'm so tired of people hating on our farmers and taking them to task for accepting farm subsidies when, they could just close up shop, folks. I mean, if you want every farmer in the nation to just say, okay, fine, I'll go pump gas for a living, and we'll shut down all the farming in the United States, and that way we won't be getting the subsidies, but you don't know where your food is going to come from. Is that really what you want?
Exactly. And then you have people who are producing, hay for horses and mm-hmm. for, cattle and all this stuff up in the Butte Valley. And
for all you and folks that have horses.
Well, and cows and this and the animals that are fed with, alfalfa and hay. A lot of that comes from Butte Valley. Oh, but wait a minute. You got elk laying all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they laying on it, but they, they poop and they pee in it mm-hmm. while they're going through. I actually had somebody from Fish and Game tell me they don't do that. I said, are you absolutely kidding me?
They said the elk don't
poop and pee in the hay and
really?
In the alfalfa when they're laying in it and rolling in
it's
it.
It's like bears don't crap in the woods?
Pretty much, because there's nobody there to hear it or whatever.
So therefore, it doesn't happen.
It was the same person who told me that they should just build fences. You can build fences, high tensile steel with electric mm-hmm. with electric component.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? You're going to do 15 miles of fence with high tensile steel and electricity? What farmer is going to have money for that?
Yeah.
And even if they did, it doesn't work, not with that kind of quantity. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that again destroys another product because the cattle and the horses won't eat it if it's got all this pee in it and stuff
sure.
like that. So
sure.
renders it worthless, which means again they can't sell it, nobody else can use it. So we're just like necking it down. Oh,
yeah.
And I watched a video yesterday, as long as we're kind of on a little rant here, 70% of our GM vehicles are made in China.
Shocking.
They have 11 partnerships with China.
I thought the current administration saved the auto industry. And jobs.
No.
No, really?
No. 70% being made in China.
Jobs in China, they saved.
America bailed out GM so that they could have all the vehicles done in China. So it's working out good for the Chinese.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so, wonderful. Communism is yet again being funded by the American taxpayer.
That's good for the GM bondholders.
No, and I have a GM truck, which is mm-hmm. difficult, but mm-hmm. It's a 2006. It was prior to the unpleasantness, and it's been paid off for a while. So, they no longer get any kudos from us.
Yeah, so, folks, do your homework.
Although they do have great seats, I got to say.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway, we just need to get our head on straight,
Well, you don't like the way we're doing things here in America. You don't seem to have a problem with the rest of the world producing everything that we need here to survive. They don't have an Environmental Protection Agency. They don't have any of the laws, restrictions, and regulations that we have here. We have the strictest ones in the world.
Exactly. And then, California necking it down some more,
Consequently, we're not allowed to do anything here. But you don't have a problem with that?
Meanwhile,
you would literally eat food from China. Have you been to China?
Yeah.
Have you seen their air? The quality of their air?
Well, you can see their air there. Actually, that's the whole point. You can see it because it's brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've gone someplace nutty.
This is nuts. It's crazy.
This isn't solving anything, for us, and it isn't moving the ball down the field. Hey, so we're going to take a swift break so that Bob can preview the crying Earth First people, because it's hilarious. You guys need to hear this morning.
And actually go onto YouTube and watch it while you're listening to it on the radio.
There you have it. Earth First Tree Crying, I think it's called. KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Be right back at you.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
His cows get loose and run right through the fast food parking lots. And Daddy gets calls from the mini malls when they're downwind from his hogs. When his tractor backs up traffic, the reception ain't too warm. The city's growing around him, but Daddy won't sell the farm.
Ah, nice job, Bob.
Who was it?
Montgomery Gentry.
Never heard of
Gentry. I never heard of
Get Out More. That's a good song.
One of the, other than Brooks and Dunn, probably maybe the biggest country duo of the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. So we're going to have a little fun with you here. I encourage you to go to YouTube and type in Earth First Crying.
No, Tree Crying.
Tree Crying.
Except we can't play it yet because Bob didn't. Can we?
No, we can play it.
Okay.
Oh, we can play it.
Don't click
we
on
can't
the,
play it. We can't play it.
Don't click on the parody. Click on the first one that comes up, and you can and turn your sound off and watch the video while we're playing the sound on the radio.
Listen to the parody afterwards. It's hilarious. So this is an Earth First Morning of the Trees. They're mourning.
I always like to preview these things on YouTube because they often have a 30-second commercial in front of them or something like that.
You clicked on the parody, actually, Bob. You're on the wrong one.
No. Trust me.
Oh. Yeah, this isn't it.
Deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
Bewails.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen and tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die, that we're some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees, that we care.
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel
rock.
Alive.
The rock.
I've looked at clear cuts in burnt forest, and I felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And I need to.
Oh, but she's going to now.
And the burn forest will come.
I told you you were on the parody.
And literally, if you watch the video, these people are sitting in a circle, rubbing each other's backs and screaming at the top of their lungs.
Bill clicked, Bob clicked on the parody. That was extra screaming background.
It said parody, and then underneath it, it said not really a parody. So I thought they were just making fun of the...
No, they are.
But they obviously have inserted some additional material.
They have.
Okay, so let's go backwards. Rewind the video and go back before the Industrial Revolution. Okay. Do you think these folks could actually survive?
Oh, can you say, well, never mind, I was going to say something bad.
These are the ones that spend, $100 on their Birkenstocks. Where do they think those come from?
Oh, not trees, that's for sure, because you'd have to cry about it. So now a smooth transition, as always, to our friend Randall, who's on the phone, who wants to talk about a ballot initiative.
Hello, Randall.
Hello.
We've gone from Earth First to politics. Oh, wait, Earth First is politics.
There you go.
Welcome aboard, Randall. What do you got for us?
Well, first time caller.
First time caller, long time listener.
Long time listener, that's true.
You've now been personally abused. Right, welcome to the gig here.
Okay. These statewide propositions.
Yes.
And I wanted to know if you can have there's websites on the Democratic Party and there's a website on the Republican Party and how they oppose or support these types of propositions. Those 11 propositions. And I'd like to know if I can mention those websites.
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. Well, for the Democratic Party, it's a CA, you know, California, CA, Dem, D-E-M, .org.
Okay.
And that's for the Democratic Party. And, you know, they oppose or support these types of propositions. There's going to be 11 propositions on the ballot for November. And then the Republicans is CA, again, GOP.org. For the Republican Party, the same thing, we support or, you know, oppose these propositions.
Sure.
And so it'll make it easier for people, if they're on the rope of, should we support this proposition or oppose this proposition? And some of these propositions, both sides are neutral. They don't persuade you either way.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And so it...
So what are you thinking? Which ones are you liking?
Huh?
Which?
Well, I haven't really studied it, but I just thought that I weighed in all these propositions and read a lot about them. No, I mean in the past without these websites, and I thought that was because I'm more of a conservative, so I go and look at these websites, and it makes it much easier for me to not read as much, and makes my decision a lot easier.
Yeah, it starts, after a while, it all starts to get blurry. Like the tax increases, it doesn't really say, this is a tax increase.
Right.
I mean, it makes it sound like it's all, you know, warm and fuzzy and this and that and the other. What are you hearing out there about Prop 32?
I can't tell you because I don't pay attention until the actual ballots come in. No, when you start reading it and
bringing
it in. But I think it should be mentioned on the air as much as possible.
Good idea. Because people should do a lot of homework. There are a whole...
There's a lot.
How many ballot initiatives are there?
There is 11 of them.
It's a big one this year. It's a big one. And there are a lot of them are tied to taxes.
Yes. Well, and so I had this... You know, I was doing some signing up people for... You know, become registered voters.
Sure.
And this one young lady, she was 22 years old. She says, "I don't vote." And so I tried to persuade her. It's like two parallel universes. You know, because they're, you know, they think they're invincible and all that stuff. I said it was important, and a lot of other people said it was important, but she said it wasn't important, and she didn't want to make a mistake and all that stuff. And so there's a thing on the proposition for no party preference, so you don't get all those mail-in things, you know, for the Republicans or Democrats. You know, you get a lot of stuff from the Republicans. They mail a lot of stuff to you.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're a nonpartisan preference, they don't mail anything to you, right? All that literature. If you're a Republican, you get all that stuff in the mail.
Sure. I'm sure if you're a registered Democrat, you get a whole bunch of stuff, too. So if you're a declined estate, you don't get anything?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
But it sounds like you've at least been doing your homework, Randall. And that's what we really encourage everybody to do. You can't let this one slide by.
And so what I'm saying is, when you talk to, if you can get a real conversation going, you can find out, in their voices and stuff like that, are you a conservative or are you a very liberal? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so if they do the nonpartisan thing, they don't make a mistake. But when they do the general election, you know, and there's propositions in the,
right,
and the other election too, they can go on the website, the Republican Party website, and write it down. And hopefully they can put it on their computer or anything like that, their favorite website. They put it on their computer. No, CAGOP.org. And then every time they, you know, get the ballot in the mail, they can just say, yeah, I'm a Republican, I'm voting this way.
Sure, they can sit down
and read anything, you know.
Yeah, and then when we get our all of our voting materials, I mean, I would encourage the people that are registered as an absentee, you know, don't fill your ballot out the first day and mail it. There's a lot that goes on in the last month. There's a lot of information that comes out. That's fabulous, Randall. We'll do a show on just on the propositions, I think,
yeah,
because they're
I think it's a great idea.
The first one, Prop 30, just for an example, it's temporary taxes to fund education, guaranteed local public safety funding and initiative. The initiative is a constitutional amendment. Well, increases personal income tax on earnings over $250,000 a year. You know, I mean, it's just interesting that the amount of money that this tax increase would raise is the equivalent to the interest on the high speed rail bonds.
So they just eliminated the high speed.
Just some fancy math there. But anyway, so there's a lot of hidden stuff under the surface. So thanks, Randall. I think you bring up an excellent point. We've got a blow to a commercial here.
So one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Those websites.
Yeah.
I write it down on their ballot application, and I put that there.
Oh, when you register them to vote?
GOP.org.
Oh, good.
I put it right on their ballot. So when they're filling it out, you know, that one that you tear out?
Sure.
Yeah, so they can they have that as a receipt, and they can go and put it on their computer.
Nice.
So
then you give them
a nice day.
A reference spot. That's fabulous. Thanks, Randall.
Thanks, Randall. Take care.
Yeah. That's a hot tip. Give them both, and then you won't be in trouble. CADEM.org and CAGOP.gov. Awesome. Good idea. Okay, we're going to go to commercial, eh? Is that right, Bob?
Sorry, had to turn my mic back on. Yes, indeed, we are going to a commercial.
Painfully quiet in here. We've got to thank our advertisers. All right, guys, we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. KCNR, 1460 AM. You're joining the home of Free Fire Media.
Nation.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, I hope everybody's looking at the great United States of America in their rearview mirror.
Sure, you say the great pumpkin.
Suddenly had a flash
of the great pumpkin.
Aww.
They have all the Halloween stuff
That's
out now.
That's what we need to do. We need to watch cartoons for a while.
There you go. I was gonna get a straw that had pumpkins on it, just to amuse
just
myself.
For fun.
Yeah,
they've had the Halloween stuff out since August.
Yeah, what's up with that? I was at the grocery store yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute, what's all this Halloween stuff?
I know, isn't that something?
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk propositions here.
We're gonna proposition each other. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right, Elizabeth, I'm propositioning you with Prop 30.
Okay.
Massive tax increase.
I am clicking on
MASSIVE. Tax increase.
Okay.
Temporary taxes. It's a good one. The lie is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Temporary taxes to fund education, guaranteed local public safety funding. The initiative is a constitutional amendment. That's fantastic. Increases personal
now,
income
let's
tax.
Now, let's explain what that means, that it's a constitutional amendment.
All right. You proposition me with your side there. Go ahead.
Hold on a minute. I'm trying to find the link.
You can't just say, hold on a minute.
Okay, you tell them what a proposition.
Okay, keep going.
Tell them what a constitutional amendment is.
It's a constitutional
while
amendment.
I try to find.
Is there more? It's an amendment to the Constitution. If I just reorganize the words, can I get away with it?
But an amendment to the Constitution changes the Constitution.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, so amendment means change.
And that's not temporary. That's the thing. They say it's a temporary tax increase and it's a constitutional amendment.
Right. So
oxymoron.
It's temporary, permanent, and they've never done a temporary tax that they didn't love so much they had to keep it.
Yeah.
Increases personal income tax on annual earnings over $250,000 for 7 years.
Remember, so, only tax cuts are temporary. Tax increases are never temporary.
Exactly. Exactly. Increases sales and use tax by 0.25% for 4 years. allocates temporary tax revenues 89% to K-12 and 11% to community colleges, bars use of funds for administrative costs, but provides local school governing boards discretion to decide in open meetings and subject to annual audit how funds are to be spent. That's terrific. Guarantees funding for public safety services realigned from state to local governments, because we all know we have loads of prisoners being dumped in our neighborhoods thanks to Prop 109. And if you don't live in California, I'm really sorry. This is all California-y stuff.
Yeah.
But it's probably coming.
Just think of us as the canary in the mine shaft.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's coming to a town near you if it hasn't already. So let's see. Proposition 32 prohibits political contributions by payroll deduction, prohibitions on contributions to candidates, and it is an initiative statute. This is basically the union thing. Restricts union political fundraising by prohibiting use of payroll deducts, deducted funds for political purposes. So, really, this is the first chance we've had to level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the commentary at the bottom of this one.
Yeah.
Limits government contractor contributions to elected officers or office-controlled committees. And then, of course, you know, the other guys freak out. Oh, but corporations get to do it. Yeah, well, you know what? Corporations aren't extorting their money from their employees to give to candidates.
They're not.
And if they make a lot of money, that's because people bought their products.
That's right.
So, just like with... you know, Orchard Hardware or Costco or whatever, if you don't like their politics, you don't have to shop from them, then they won't have the money to give to
their choice of politicians.
Exactly. 38.
Here's a good one.
Proposition 38, the tax for education and early childhood programs. Now you're going to like this one. Now, remember, the only taxes that we're supposed to be seeing, because we hate the wealthy, right?
Right.
Not the deal. We hate the wealthy.
And we're never going to tax the middle class.
No. And this, obviously, this isn't national. This is statewide. So, you know, we can't hold the governor of California to the, you know, speaking points of the president. But this increases personal income tax rates for annual earnings over,
$7,300.
$7,316.
So if you make... $7,316 or more a year.
This applies to
you. You are going to be taxed to fund education and early childhood programs.
Yeah, isn't that great? It's a personal income tax thing. So you're using a sliding scale from 0.4% for the lowest individuals. I would assume that's the $7,300.
Right.
To
2.2%.
2.2 for people who earning over $2.5 million, ending after 12 years.
So
it's
let's
a 12-year deal.
Yeah. Another temporary tax increase. So let's figure that, you know, if you're... an average wage earner. I mean, if you and your wife earn $50,000 gross, which is, you know, not that much money in this day and age. I mean, I'm guessing you're probably going to be at 1.5% of your income, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that fabulous? We already pay for all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Proposition 39 is tax treatment for multi-state businesses. And this is the red flag. Clean energy and energy efficiency funding. That's awesome. We so need more of that. You know, in the state of California, screams Solyndra, requires multi-state businesses to calculate their California income tax liability based on the percentage of their sales in California. Repeals existing law, giving multi-state businesses an option to choose a tax liability formula that provides favorable tax treatment for businesses with property and payroll outside California. Dedicates $550 million annually for 5 years from anticipated increase in revenue for the purpose of funding projects that create energy efficiency and clean energy jobs in California. The raindrops keep falling on me.
That's my job.
You could keep reading it. I was going to hum this time.
And it kind of reminds me on Saturday, the new taxes for any California businesses that are associated with Amazon, they went into effect on Saturday. And,
oh, lovely.
And so if you order something from a company that uses Amazon as a conduit and that company exists in the state of California, you're going to pay... you're going to pay sales tax on that, whereas you weren't before. So the scuttlebutt is that Amazon dumped a lot of their California companies.
Hmm.
That were
shocking.
Yeah, because they didn't. They said, you know what? This is wrong. We're not going to deal with it. We're just not going to be associated with any California businesses that have products that they sell through Amazon. That's how we're going to fix that problem right there. So what do you suppose happens to those companies?
Yeah.
Okay, so Amazon dumps them because they can.
Oh, and the people who work there.
Yeah, and the people who work there. So that the state of California can get that tax revenue as well.
Yeah.
So sales take a dive. A few people lose their jobs just so the state of California presumably can collect that tax revenue, which they never will, because you're going to lose the income tax coming from the folks that lost their jobs. And
they don't have the money to buy the stuff in the first place because they're not working.
And there won't be any sales tax revenue because those businesses will no longer be able to do business through Amazon.
France is moving toward, they're moving to like a 90% tax rate or something.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, I don't think any of the wealthy people in France are leaving yesterday.
Oh, they are. A lot of them saw this coming. They're long gone.
Yeah. You know,
you try to control people, they'll find a way around it.
Who was it that said socialism is their biggest problem is when they run out of other people's money?
Mm-hmm.
Winston Churchill, I think.
Yeah, somebody smart.
Oh, was that Margaret Thatcher? No, was it Margaret Thatcher?
I don't know. It was...
Who said that?
It might have been somebody from Britain.
I think it was Margaret Thatcher. Yeah.
Whoever said that.
I'm pretty sure it was Margaret Thatcher.
So, yeah, 39's a loser. You know, the whole clean air thing and all that. I mean, we just have beaten that in the head.
Mm-hmm.
We already have the California Air Resources Board just getting to do whatever they want. And we haven't really seen the full effect of that yet.
Yeah.
We will soon, though.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
November?
Yeah.
Yeah, conveniently after Election Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, that's what people don't realize. And it's also with Obamacare. They don't realize that the bulk of the ramifications hit home after the election. It was designed that way.
Uh-huh.
Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Yeah, just a coincidence that all the money that's been paid in, there've been just a few little benefits, but it's what, 10 years of revenue on 7 years of projected expenditure. So, of course Obamacare works out. Are you playing us a song?
No,
I hear Rawhide or something.
Screaming tree people somewhere in the building.
I was like, is that Rawhide? Are you playing Rawhide?
If I were you, I would ask Bill about it during the break.
Oh.
It's the person out in the lobby.
Oh, is there someone out in the lobby playing Rawhide? What's up with that? Okay, so what was it? He wasn't playing it, but now he's singing it.
So those are just a few of the propositions, because that's only 30, 32,
38. Okay, so...
I'm telling you,
no,
folks.
No on 30.
I guess I just, you know,
yes, on 32.
Here's the thing that I find mind-blowing.
Yes?
I mean, literally mind-blowing, is that there are people that actually think that none of this will impact them. They all think that in order to fund the government, that the government's just going to go after the rich. They really believe that.
Yeah, except for that $7,300 thing. That's going to be a drag.
Well,
do people who make $7,300 a year actually file income tax returns?
I wouldn't think so. Because they don't pay any... Well, you have to file even if you don't owe tax.
Oh, yeah,
so you
that's
do have
true.
To file. But they don't pay any federal income tax and probably little, if no, state income tax.
Well, of course, then they're going to have to do the Obamacare thing. They get fined again.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We just moved into.
And so if you think that, okay, well, I use QuickBooks and I do my own taxes, so I don't have to worry about that. Well,
in the private sector, would be known as a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, it'll be built
exactly.
into QuickBooks. It'll be built into all of the, you know, I mean, QuickBooks will have all of this built into their program for reporting your taxes for 2012, 2013. So there's no way you're going to get off the hook.
No.
No way at all.
But I would consider finding a really good tax specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, North State Consultants on our website would be an excellent choice.
There you go.
Because then maybe you could have somebody who could help you navigate this, because otherwise you're going to get stripped down.
I think
we got a little break coming up here. Thank our advertisers.
Yes. Elizabeth's North State Tax Consultant being one of them. As long as we're getting plugs in here.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. Is Elizabeth going to do the commercial? Oh, my gosh, what an excellent segue. Here comes Elizabeth talking about our friends at North Coast State Consultants.
We're still negotiating with Elizabeth on that one.
Oh, that's right. They have to change the commercial. You'll be listening to the last old commercial. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Love. Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Poets, priests, and politicians have words to say for their positions.
Welcome back. Last 10 minutes of We the People Radio. I hope you have enjoyed yourself. It wasn't the show we were planning on, but hey, what the heck. Hey, so, okay, we were talking about all the propositions, and I kind of jumped on the one to Prop 38 that imposes a tax on just about everybody to fund early childhood education. So I was just playing around, and I'm assuming that they're going to base that tax. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but generally they do.
We're not talking fact today anyway.
Yeah,
we're talking quasi-facts.
Yeah, and we're encouraging you all to educate yourselves, but I'm assuming that they're going to be basing that on adjusted gross income. They usually don't base taxes on your income after you have made all of your deductions. So let's just say you're a family that your gross is $50,000 a year. And that's not completely unheard of. If you've got two parents working, average jobs, let's just say $50,000 a year, you're going to pay $750. I'm guessing, because I figured the sliding scale starts at, what, 0.4% if you're at the $7,000 figure.
The big 7,300 plans.
And then it goes up to 2.2% if you're at 2.5 million. So let's just for fun, let's just say that, the very average lower middle class family at 50,000 gross, let's say it's 1.5%.
Hmm?
That's another $750 in taxes that you pay to the state of California, on top of everything else.
And the 21 taxes from Obamacare will be kicking in right about then.
That's right.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's totally silly.
Yeah, that's
it's just silly.
And there's no way our
economy recovers with this.
And they're cutting the marriage... They're cutting the marriage... there's a marriage penalty now.
They're increasing the marriage penalty.
Yeah, they're increasing the marriage penalty. And then I believe they're cutting the child deductions as well. So you're going to pay more for your... You're not going to get the deductions that you normally get for your kids. You're going to pay more because you're married. And I believe also next year is the first year, and again, we have to double check with your accountant, but if you work for a private employer that provides health care to you, okay, and let's say, you know, your portion of the health care that your employer provides, let's say you pay $200 a month. Well, they're kicking in the rest, right? Well, the rest that they're kicking in that you've taken for granted all this time is going to be considered income now.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Did you know about that?
Yeah.
That health care.
Can you say 1099?
This health care that your employer is paying for you that you've assumed that you were entitled to all this time?
Well, it was like part of your off the books.
Yeah, it's considered your total compensation package. You have your salary, and then you have all the benefits that your employer provides that you've always thought that you were entitled to. Well, the government is now going to say that you need to pay income tax on that because they're considering that a form of income. Well, it's like if you win, you know, you win something in the sweepstakes, you know, you win a car, you have to pay income tax on that car.
Right.
If you win the lottery, half of it goes to the government before you walk out the door. So they're now considering the health care that your employer provides to be a taxable benefit.
Isn't that awesome?
And so it begins. So
now, is the, I may be a year or two behind on this, but is the health care that you pay for, is that still deductible?
It used to be deductible. If your total medical expenses, including the health care premiums that you paid, were at 7% of your, I believe, your adjusted gross income, if it came up to 7%, then you were able to deduct up to 7%. They're bumping that up to 10% now. Which means,
so if it's less than 10%, it's
you don't get to write it off.
There's no point in itemizing it.
You don't get to write it off. See, people think that if you don't actually raise the very simple income tax, that there are no tax increases. But getting rid of deductions is the same as raising taxes, because if you can't take the deduction, then you have to pay the tax.
And at some point, if the money that was being spent, you know, if our tax money was being really well spent all over, and it was being audited properly, and people really felt like there was, you know, some control and some thought given out to how these things are done, mm-hmm. I don't think people would complain.
I don't
honestly
think they would either.
I think everybody would be cool if that we realized the world doesn't run on, you know, I mean, these things don't happen by themselves.
No, and we're not anti-tax. We're not anti-government, but we're pro-responsibility and accountability. And, you know, right, we're at a point now, not only in the state of California, but nationwide, where they're trying to plug the hole. I mean, you know, we've got, they're basically just trying to stop the bleeding. They're not trying to heal the wound anymore. They're just trying to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
That's all it is at this point.
Let's just backfill. See, it's backfill, so we don't have to cut, because we don't want to cut, because that makes people upset.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people think if we go back to what Ronald Reagan did in 1986, lower the basic tax rates, but eliminate all of the loopholes, or most of them, simplify the tax code, in other words, that the tax revenues will go up with lower tax rates.
We were just giving people a moment to think about it.
Worked every time.
Well,
it's
but I liked hanging you out there.
And the reason that works is because if you
because it generates more.
Yeah, well, because the more you tax people, the less money they have to spend.
Well, besides that, the higher those burdens get, and then you've got, you know, we buy all of our meat from our producer up in Fall River. Mm-hmm. So that's not in our grocery bill. You know, we go to the grocery store, we don't buy meat. We didn't buy any kind of like snack food, nothing like that. We bought some turkey from the deli and some macaroni salad from the deli. Everything else was like vegetables, fruit. Got some coconut milk. Actually, it's really good. Makes me feel like Gilligan. we had coconut smoothies last
night.
I know.
It's good for you, too.
It made me want to talk like there's no. I was like,
nice.
Oh, lovey, these are fantastic. I spent too much time in the 70s. And then we bought some greeting cards, one of which I gave to you, which was horribly funny.
I thought you wrote it yourself.
Bought a little handful. No, my writing's not that good. My handwriting. My grammar.
I love it
and my
that you could find a greeting card for anything that you would ever want to say.
At Winco.
So awesome.
Some of them were so insanely rude. It was
so
hilarious.
What was your grocery bill?
Okay. We're talking like, you know, lettuce, beans. You know, I bought, what, 5 bananas, 2 apples. You know, it's not like we're shopping for 90 people.
Right.
Two of us.
Right.
$98.
Yeah.
$98.
Yeah. And you know what? It isn't going to stop there.
I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Because cap and trade kicks in November.
Yeah, so everything else goes away. All the hauling of everything.
Everything.
Everything that gets brought in by truck.
Which is pretty much everything.
Everything.
That's California cap and trade. Mm-hmm. For those of you listening elsewhere.
Fortunately, our Congress knew that it was
the emissions, and then we trade carbon credits so that we level the playing field, and all the air over California changed the air over the rest of the world.
Yes, because if we can clean the air in California, the rest of the world will benefit.
And China will not be a gross polluter.
No,
India,
not at all.
India,
China,
no gross polluting.
China will not take advantage of that opportunity.
No, well, they won't have any pollution
but China
over, there,
will benefit,
over their country.
China will benefit from you and me paying $5 a gallon for gas.
That's right.
Yes, and for bailing out GM so we could give them 70% of that company. That's fantastic.
Folks, you need to come out of your naivete, and that's naive.
And be haters with us.
Yeah, because you know what? It's really time to wake up. Time to fight back.
There's just so much.
And
so
Elizabeth Nixon, if you're listening, it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, maybe we'll give you another shot.
Wake up. No, we will. We'll have her
we'll
on.
Have
her book comes out October 16th.
Yeah, so we need to get her on so she can plug that.
I am absolutely convinced she turned her phone off.
Yeah, that would explain the protracted ringing. Although we do know her number by heart because we've been speed dialing her all morning. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to...
Next week? What's next week? I won't be here, but you will be.
I think we're talking about campaign finance next week.
Oh, nice.
I do believe that is the topic. I do not have my calendar in here. And if so, it's going to be cool, because that's the one thing the rest of us are like, we don't really know how that works.
Again, get educated. This is your chance.
Check. Bob,
thanks,
been
everybody.
Fabulous, as always. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Aaron and Elizabeth, as always.
Bye-bye.
Register to vote if you haven't already. Talk to your friends. Get them off the couch. It's time.
All right, you've been listening to We the People. And Donna Judy is next. Now, Don is not here this morning, so Judy Maxwell, yours truly, my wife Ann, and Shirley Powell will all be in a round table.
We get to meet your wife?
You get to meet my wife this morning.
Right on.
All of this on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Does she know your speed?
Fox News Radio.